Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Something that I try not to do too often in my sermons is to talk about myself or something that has happened to me. This week, though, I need to make an exception because of what happened and because it fits so well with our text for this morning. As I tell you about this account, though, I want you to consider Paul's first words in our epistle text in his letter to the Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not from man, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Keep those words in mind as I now give you this account of how I was called old school. Thursday this week, I was called down to go to St. Louis to a hospital for one of our members. And when I had finished there, I was on my return trip back here to Augsburg, and I stopped off at Collinsville to use the restroom in a gas station. As I was there, I went to the men's room and knocked on the door and tried the handle and found that it was occupied. So I stood back and waited. It was not long after that I heard a voice say to me, "You must be old school." And I turned and looked, and there was a police officer standing there. And I said to him, "What do you mean?" And at the same time as he started to answer, I realized what he had meant, because in the ladies' room just down the way, they had been in and out several times as I waited for the men's room. And so he replies, "Because you waited in line, instead of calling yourself transgender and going into the ladies' room." That's the end of the account so far. But now we can apply it to our epistle text for this morning, from Galatians. Like with any of you, who I am makes very little difference as compared to whose I am. But as I was on a call that morning, I had my clerical collar on when he made this comment to me. And so it begs the question not only of who we are as Christians, but the calling of the ministry. This is precisely what Paul covers in the text from our letter, in his letter, not only this week, but also next. And so for this week and next week, we'll be looking at the epistle text, looking at what Paul has to say concerning the office of the ministry, concerning his call, as well as mine, and our need to keep unified in the Christian faith. Here again, Paul's first words, "Paul, an apostle." Stop and think about those words. Why would Paul have needed to begin, "Paul, an apostle"? He began this way because there were apparently some who did not consider the words he was preaching to them and teaching to them to be God's word, but his word. It goes a step further than that as well. While any good disciple of Christ can and should speak God's word to a neighbor, Paul had had a unique calling. He was called to give sermons, just as your pastor before you has been called to give sermons, but his call was a direct call. He heard the voice of Jesus himself on the road to Damascus. And so he also could be called an apostle. It seems that the distinction between an apostle and a disciple is that a disciple could be anyone called to believe in Jesus Christ, whereas the apostles were ones called directly by Jesus himself. And this is true of Paul as well. Paul reminds the brothers and sisters in Galatia of his calling so that they will listen closely to his words, because they are not his words, but God's word for them. Yes, even before the Reformation, there were temptations to fall away from the church, to fall away from God's word. And unfortunately, some were. Paul writes to them, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." But then he clarifies, Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Paul writes this way so that there would not be divisions in the church. Have any of your thoughts already gone back to that police officer and his comment regarding a pastor in the ministry? Why would he make such a comment if it were not that there are different kinds of pastors? The sad fact is that despite Paul's warnings from this and other texts, we have divisions. Again, there is not more than one gospel. There's only one gospel. Yet so many claim to be Christian denominations when they don't speak about Jesus and Him crucified and risen for your sins. But turn again, look at the back of your bulletin, at the epistle text, at the very beginning. See how Paul immediately speaks of Jesus' death and resurrection in the opening. What is even sadder is what else happened this week. There was an article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch concerning lay ministry, or licensed lay deacon ministry. Now, if you read that article, you learned how brothers and sisters in Christ are willing to split, even again, if they don't get their side accounted for, if their side doesn't win this dispute. And the dispute hasn't even happened yet. There's going to be a convention in July, 2 months from now, concerning this topic, as to whether or not to continue this program or to try to do something else. And already they're saying there's the potential they may split and divide over this topic. Are they so quickly deserting Him who called them in the grace of Christ? The body of Christ is to be unified, not divided. Obviously, there is a difference between the two things we just discussed. One is the police officer commenting on how a pastor did not go along with societal standards. And the other is on a decision regarding how to best proceed with advancing the gospel. The problem with both of these is that they have the potential to drive us apart. So what is the solution? Keeping in God's word. Satan can and does use anything and everything he can get his hands on to make us divide, to take our focus off of Christ crucified and risen for you. He will use those who claim to be Christian pastors, who speak lovingly about God, and yet never mention Christ crucified. And who may even speak lovingly about Christ, and yet go against God's word in favor of societal standards. He will even use disagreement regarding a program that was designed to help spread the gospel in order to create division among us. Satan loves division. He loves strife. He loves discord. He loves anything that takes our focus off of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen for you. That is why God created the ministry. Jesus called the first apostles and even Paul. And then Jesus and the apostles began calling disciples that have been handed down generation to generation and pastor to pastor. That tradition has carried down even today, but again, beware of false teachers. Only one church has the doctrine right. And you and I have confirmed and confessed that we believe that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has that doctrine right. Or at least not, if not 100% right, it is the closest thing we have today. We've confirmed and we've confessed that. Granted, it would be better to say the Christian church rather than the Lutheran church. Because as Paul says in another letter, Luther did not die for your sins. Christ died for your sins. The problem with that distinction is that while other churches and other denominations have some heretical teachings, some of them do preach and teach Christ crucified and risen. And when they do, the Holy Spirit can and does use that. The problem is when they also teach heresy along with that. It becomes messy. That's why Paul said, don't have divisions, but such is the life that we have today. We have divisions. You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. I don't believe that only LCMS Lutherans will be in heaven. But again, We want God's Word in its fullness, in its pureness, in its truth. And so if we want it in its fullness, we don't want heresy attached to it. We want all of it taught properly. You and I have confessed and confirmed that we believe the LCMS does that. So don't desert the LCMS. But as Paul continues, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. How can I quote Paul's having written this? How could Paul have written it? Because of our calling. We, like you, have confessed the truth of God's word, but more than that, Paul and I have been called into the public ministry by God. He was called directly by Christ on the road to Damascus, whereas I was called indirectly through the church, but still according to God's will. And so we stick it out. We go the old school way, if need be. We would do that rather than follow Satan or society and mislead those to whom we deliver God's word to you. Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Going back to the account from earlier, judge for yourselves. Was I seeking the approval of God or of man when I waited for the men's restroom? Would I have been trying to please man by calling myself transgender and instead using the women's restroom? Or by preaching that such things are according to God's word? I do not seek man's approval, but God's approval, just as Paul did not. That is the character of our calling as pastors, the calling we have from God to preach and teach the word in its full truth and purity and to administer the sacraments. We preach and teach so that you might be kept in the one true faith in your Savior, Jesus Christ, in him crucified and risen for your sins. To finish the account, I found out that that police officer was a fellow Christian. True, he was not an LCMS Lutheran. He was Catholic. But at the same time, he and I spoke, and he was in unity with us, at least regarding the bathroom issue, as are many police officers and sheriffs in this country. While I did tell him that I was an LCMS Lutheran pastor, I did not try to convert him to being a Lutheran outright. I was happy to have a brother who knew God's word regarding that kind of thing. After all, Jesus did not tell the apostles to stop those who were preaching in his name, but he allowed them to continue. And so do I when they preach and teach the proper thing. But at the same time, I hope that that police officer might consider becoming LCMS Lutheran so that he can receive the truth in its fullness and its purity. By the nature of my calling, I desire that all come to the truth of God's word in all of its fullness and purity, whether that is in line with the police or society or not. In the case of my account, I was right in the middle. Some police are in line with us. They don't want that to take place. But society does, and so I am against society at this time on that topic. Again, it is not for my sake that I told you this account, but for the sake of the calling that I have been given by God himself. I have been given it in Christ Jesus, crucified for your sins and for my sins, and risen that you and I might have life in his name. As we continue to hear this truth, it can and will keep us in unity with one another in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.